الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. There are many blessings in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that perform the Hajj that is farz upon you. And we know that Hajj is farz upon us when we are physically and financially capable of doing it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you perform the Hajj that is farz upon you, so the reward of performing your Hajj is that you will get the same reward of participating in 20 battles in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself participated in. But the best thing is yet to come. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then wanting to say that he who recites salat upon me once will get the same reward as well. Allahu Akbar. Hajj is only farz upon us once. Nobody here can participate in a battle in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam participated in. But young or old, rich or poor, weak or strong, we can all send Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu alal Habib. You know, whenever you come to a gathering of Dawat Islamiyah, whenever you listen to a speech on Madani Sham, they will always give you at the beginning, like I've done, a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are many reasons for this. Obviously, the intention is so that we become aware of the blessings. Secondly, we become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak. Third, that we learn this blessing and we pass it on to others so that other people can become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak as well. But when you listen to these blessings, have you ever thought about them? For example, the one that I just give you now, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that, you know, you will get this amount of reward if you recite salat upon me. In another one, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that if a person recites Durood-e Pak upon me 1,000 times a day, he will not die until he has seen his place in paradise. But what's amazing about these is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the authority to say this. Think about it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, recite Durood-e Pak upon me and Allah azza wa jalla will forgive all your sins. Recite Durood-e Pak upon me and Allah azza wa jalla will show your place in paradise. Recite Durood-e Pak upon me and Allah azza wa jalla will give you this reward. This is the authority that he has. This is the maqam that he has. This is the status that he has. So when you receive or listen to these blessings of Durood-e Pak, you understand that this is the authority that he has. So what normally happens, we just listen to it, we take it as a blessing, we think, oh, it sounds very good, inshallah, I'll try and do it. But by listening to these blessings and understanding them, you see that this is the maqam, this is the status that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. And today, alhamdulillah, we're here. Why are we here? We're here to remember the coming of the mercy to all the worlds. And these gatherings to make us develop that love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts. Loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of our iman. And loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is important for our iman. And we need to have this inside us. Right from a young age, these young children that are here today, why are they here today? The parents have brought them along so that that seed of love can be developed in their hearts. And we need to keep on nurturing this. It's not as if, oh, I've got complete love and that's it. We have to continue to do this. And so you come to these gatherings, you listen about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you develop that love inside you. And one of the ways of developing that love inside you is to hear about the lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is unique. If someone loves someone that you love, then normally you become jealous of them. But when it comes to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if someone loves the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we start to love that person as well. Because of the fact that he loved the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what we need to do to develop this love is to look at the companions and how they had that love. And I'm going to give you one event that took place once. We've all heard the famous event that took place when Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said to the companions, he said, today I need funds because an expedition was going to Tabuk. Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq on that day, he thought to himself, like I said earlier on, the competition. Who loves the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the more? Who can please him the most? So he thought to himself, you know, today I'm going to win. Today is an opportunity for me to please the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most. So he went home. And everything he had, all the money that he had, all the food that he had, all the goods that he had, he divided in half. Half he left at home, and half he brought to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now think about it before I go on. If I was to ask you to divide half of your wealth, everything that you've got, think about everything that you've got right now, all your clothes, all your money, your gold, your silver, whatever your wife's wealth has got, everything that you've got in the house, half of it. Could we? Could we give that in the way of Allah? Nowadays we find it hard to give £5 in the way of Allah. Yeah, people knock on our door. They say we're collecting for the masjid. First time we'll open the door. Second time we'll hide behind the couch. We won't give them any money. We will not spend in the way of Allah. We're afraid of spending in the way of Allah. May I remind you before I go on, that money that you have, that money that you have got now, Allah Azza wa Jal give it you. Don't ever think that you earned it. It's my hand, my effort, yeah? My strength. I did a 4-year degree. I did this, I did that. Allah Azza wa Jal give you that mind. Allah Azza wa Jal give you that strength. Allah Azza wa Jal give you that health. Allah Azza wa Jal give you them opportunities. Allah Azza wa Jal give you that money. And on the day of judgment, you will be asked, what did you do with that money? I made the biggest koti in Kashmir. I had the biggest car in London. If that is your answer, then good luck. But that money that you have, you need to spend. So I'm not saying don't spend. I'm not saying spend all of it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. But what I'm saying to you is that you will be questioned about that wealth. You will be questioned about that wealth on the day of judgment. Now Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq, when he presented all of this wealth, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "That what have you brought and what have you left behind?" And he said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of my wealth that I have, I've divided it in half. Half I left at home for my family and half I brought for you." And you can imagine the companions, they were so happy. Allahu Akbar. But Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq had not arrived yet. Allahu Akbar. And this was the person that Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq realized that this is the person that I need to compete with. It is stated that when Sayyidina Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came, every single piece of material, every single button, every single utensil, every single penny, every single dirham or dinar, every single thing that he had, he brought it and presented it at the feet of the Prophet of Allah. Allahu Akbar. And then when he was asked, "Ya Abu Bakr, what have you brought and what have you left behind?" "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything I have, I brought to you. And behind, I've left Allah and His Rasul. And that is all I need." And again, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was happy that day. So the question is that these people that did this, this is the sacrifice that they made. What sacrifices we claim to love? We claim to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we're not willing to make any sacrifices. We claim to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we're not willing to get up for Fajr. Yes, we'll go on a julus, we'll get the nara and we'll make the slogans there, but we don't love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He should be loved. And what we need to understand is that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the authority that he had, if he wished, he could have made for us our life so much harder. You know the Hajj. When the Hajj was made compulsory, at that time, imagine at that time, there were very few Muslims. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The Hajj is farz upon you." The companion said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is Hajj farz every year?" Allahu Akbar. Just think, if the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, the Hajj is farz upon you every year," what would have happened today? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If I was to say yes, then Hajj would have been farz upon you every year." He has this authority. This is the authority that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. It is stated that on the day of judgment, thrones will be lined up, and all of the prophets will be sitting on the thrones. All of them will be sitting on the thrones, except for one throne that will be empty, and that will be the throne of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why will it be empty? Because he will be running around saving his ummat. Saving his ummat. Running around for us to save us. This is his authority. On that day, when people will run, they will go to Sayyidina Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and ask for intercession. And he will say, no. They will go to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and he will say, I cannot do anything. They will go to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and you cannot do anything. He will go to all of these and eventually they will all come to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he will be the one that will intercede. And you've all heard this. You've all heard that it will be the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam that will intercede. But the question comes to my mind, and it should come to your mind. Why does Allah azza wa jal need the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam to intercede for us? He doesn't. He does not need. Allah azza wa jal can decide this person heaven, this person hell, this person heaven, this person hell. But the day of judgment is set up to show us the authority and the status and the maqam of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. From this we realize his status. From this we realize his maqam. And this is something that we need to realize, that this is the status that he had. This is the sacrifices that he made for us. This is the sacrifices that he's continuing to make for us. And we need to understand this, that we are fortunate to be amongst this ummah. To be amongst the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is making these sacrifices for us. Nowadays we say that yes, maut bhi kabool hai. We're willing to die for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But are we? Are we? We can't even get up for Fajr in the morning and yet we say we'll die for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We miss our namaz 5 times a day and yet we'll say we'll die for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not love. You know, a pious person was once asked, when will I become a mu'min? When will I become a true believer? And the pious predecessor said to him that this will be when you love Allah. That you will become a true believer when you love Allah. So he asked a question. How will I know if I love Allah? You know, I need to know. How will I know? And the reply was given that that will be when you love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Next question. And the next question is the important question. How will I know whether I love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now we all claim to be lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the answer I'm about to give is what we need to look at ourselves. That if I want to be a mu'min, I need to love Allah. If I want to love Allah, I need to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do I need to do? The answer was, obey his orders. Follow his footsteps. Observe his sunnah. Love the people who love him and hate the people who hate him. Now I ask you, do we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we obey his orders? Do we follow his sunnah? Do we love the people who love him? Do we hate the people who hate him? Do we? You know, these children that are here today, I don't know how, 6, 7, 8, 9 year of age. If I was to ask these children today, the thick of inheritance, that how would you divide inheritance when there's 3 sons and 2 daughters? They would not know. And it's understandable, because many of us would not know this. But if I was to ask these children about namaz, about salah, they would say, uncle, it's fard upon us. Every 6, 7, 8 year old child will know that namaz is fard upon us. It's not as if, oh, I'm teaching you something new. I don't think anybody will say, oh, sorry, brother, I didn't know namaz was fard upon us. We all know that namaz is fard upon us. So the question is why are we not doing it? Why are we not praying 5 times a day? When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered us to do it. In Allah Azza wa Jalla has ordered us to do it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered us to do it. We say we love, we say we follow, but we can't even read our namaz 5 times a day. What kind of lover of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that? You need to understand, my dear Islam brothers, that if you want to love, you have to truly follow. You cannot just claim it. For example, if there's a person who says, I love my mother. Many people will say, I love my mother. I really love my mother. And people, you know, imagine someone goes to the extremity that he puts a badge on and he says, I love my mother on the badge. He puts a sticker on the back of his car, I love my mother. And everywhere he goes, he's praising and he's saying, I love my mother, I love my mother, I love my mother. But that same person, when his mother says, Beta, take the rubbish out. Mom, I'm too busy. I ain't got time for this. Beta, can you go to the shops and get some bread? I've got time for this. Mom, you go yourself. Beta, don't go here. No, why shouldn't I go here? I'm a young man. Let me do what I want to do. So this person who claims to love his mother but never listens to his mother, would you say he loves his mother? He never listens to his mother. But he tells everybody, I love my mother. Would you say he loves his mother? No, you wouldn't. You would not say that he loves his mother. You say he's a fool. He's a hypocrite. He says he loves his mother, but he doesn't listen to her. But then what's the difference between us? We love the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we don't follow. We don't listen. We don't obey. In fact, we're ashamed. This is a sad thing. We're ashamed of following the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're embarrassed of adopting the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How sad is this? That we cry, we pretend, we'll hide away, and we're afraid of adopting the sunnah. We're afraid of having this beard on our face. You know, the lovers of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, didn't ask why. Nowadays people say, oh, brother, please tell me, what is the benefit of having the beard? What is the benefit of having the imamati? What is the benefit of this? What is the benefit of this? People that love don't ask how and why. They just do it. They just do it. The lovers don't ask how and why. They just do it. Nowadays, we ask too many questions. If you love, if you claim to love, if you really want to love the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't ask how and why. Just do it. Blindly do it. The companions didn't ask. Now today, yes, I admit that we should ask questions about the deen. We need to have this knowledge about the deen. But the lovers, they only followed. And that is why we are failing today. I'm not saying it's wrong for our children, for all of us to ask questions. The times have changed. There was a time where, when youngsters, when, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when people used to go to the madrasa, it was either do or die. Karo ya maro. You know, if you don't listen, then we'll hit you with a stick. Nowadays, the children, it's how and why. They want to know the answers. That's fair enough. We need to educate our children. We need to give them the answers. We need to have all the answers there for them. But as lovers of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it comes to his sunnah, when it comes to how he lived his life, he is the perfect role model. He is the perfect example for us. And when it comes to following him, we should be proud of it. We should not be ashamed of it, because he is the perfect example in every single way. How he dealt with people, how he dealt with his wives, how he dealt with children, how he dealt with neighbors, how he dealt with colleagues, how he dealt with these people. Every single aspect of his life is there as a perfect example for us. None of us could say, I know better. You don't know better. Nobody knows better than the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we need to be proud that we are from the ummah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just think to yourself that you were born, the majority of us that are here today, we were born in a Muslim household. How fortunate are we? Sometimes we don't realize the value of this. We don't realize how lucky we are that we are Muslims. You know, when you go back to Pakistan or India, and sometimes there's a water shortage, sometimes there's electricity shortage, sometimes there's a gas shortage. And then when you come back here, you realize how lucky we are that we've got electricity. Yeah, light doesn't go, water's always on the top, and you think, Ya Allah, thankful that we've got all these things. Because we have taken it for granted, our electricity and water and gas here. And when we don't have it, then we realize how lucky we are. In the same way, being Muslims, being from that ummah, we don't value it. Because we were born with it, we didn't have to make any sacrifices. But even today, there are people that make sacrifices for the deen. There are people today that they've accepted the deen, they become Muslims, they get thrown out of the houses. They get the bank balances seized, they get everything seized, but they still stay on the path of Islam. I know of people that have been beaten up by their families because they've accepted Islam. What has happened to us? Nothing. But we don't value it. We're not willing to make them sacrifices. We don't realize how fortunate we are. You know, when it comes to this particular sunnah, you know this particular, I mentioned it before, I'll mention it again. In every single sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a hikmah, there is wisdom behind it. Whether I understand it or I don't understand it, whether science and technology in a million years understands it or doesn't understand it, doesn't matter. I don't care whether they understand it or don't, but there's always hikmah and wisdom in every one of them. But I'll give you my personal opinion. This is only my personal opinion. You know, since I had a beard on my face, nobody invites me to a nightclub. Nobody invites me to places where they're going to be having shisha or drugs or these sort of places. I don't get invites anymore. Nobody invites me to these places. But what do I get invites to? I get invites to mehfil-e milad, to ishtamas, to these gatherings. This is a weapon against shaitan. This is a weapon against shaitan. Shaitan realizes, look, I can't do this to him, I can't do this to him, I can't do this to him. This is a weapon against shaitan. And this is one of those sunnahs, like for example, the miswak, you get the reward when you're doing it. Yeah, you get the reward when you're doing it. When you eat according to the sunnah, you get the reward when you're eating according to the sunnah. This is one sunnah that I was coming down on the motorway, I was half asleep, half awake, I'm getting the reward. When I go to sleep tonight, I'm still getting the reward. I'm standing here, I'm still getting the reward. When I sit down after the meal, I'm still getting the reward. I'm permanently getting the reward for this. And not only this, every time when you get up in the morning and you look at yourself in the mirror and you look at yourself and you realize, you think to yourself, you know what? I've got this on my face. I need to respect it as well. I need to respect this as well. And so this is a weapon against Shaitan. This protects you. So I advise you, follow every sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The true lovers, they didn't ask why. And have faith in the sunnah. We don't have that faith inside us. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, when he was coming back from the Hajj the second time and he was on a ship. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, rahmatullah, he was on a ship and there was a huge storm. And when this storm happened, the captain made an announcement. He said that on the ship, I've never been in a storm like this. If you have your coffins with you, wrap yourself in the coffins, because to survive this storm, I think is virtually impossible. So you can imagine people on the ship are screaming and shouting. Because for them, death is near. For them, death is near. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat is sitting in the corner, doing his wazifa, very calmly sitting there. Sayyidi, what is happening? And he said, don't worry, nothing will happen. Don't worry, nothing will happen. And he said, how can you say this? The captain of the ship, he's an experienced captain. You know, he's been doing this job all his life, and he's saying, how can you say it? You've not been a captain of a ship ever. What was Sayyidi Ala Hazrat said? He said, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a dua. If you recite this dua and then you make a journey, nothing will happen to you. I recited this dua, he said. Nothing will happen to us. That is iman. That is iman. And lo and behold, nothing happened to them. The storm abated and everything was okay. So we need to have that iman inside us. We need to have that love inside us. And loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a one-night offense. You know, today you're here, you come here today, you made the intention, I'm going to stay up here all night. But loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not one night in a year event. It's not one day in a year event where you go on the julus. It's not for 30 days where you have mahfil al-wilad. Loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a 24-hour-a-day job, 365-day a year, all your life. If you want to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not part-time. It's not part-time. And unfortunately, our deen has become part-time. Our deen has become a hobby. It's something that we do when we've got a bit of time. Those are the brothers that know me. They know that I enjoy cars. I like cars. I bought a car about 6 years ago to restore. I've not touched it. It's been stood under the yard for 6 years. That's my hobby. And one of these days, I'll get around to doing that car. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. That's my hobby. But unfortunately, what we've done nowadays is we've made deen our hobby. We've got time, we'll read namaz. Not got time, doesn't matter. We've got time, we'll go to the masjid. Not got time, won't matter. The month of Ramadan comes, we look at the month of Ramadan, we look at our work schedule and think, you know what? I've got overtime on Saturday, Sunday, I won't fast. I'm working overtime on Thursday, I won't fast. Yeah, I've got a few days off, that I'll fast them days. So our deen has become our hobby. And that is why we are failing as well. Our deen should be our life and everything else should revolve around it. So if you want to be truly love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then don't make deen your hobby. If you really want to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make deen your life. Make loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam your life. Make following the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam your life. Make obeying the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam your life. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I leave you two things, follow them, you will never go astray. The Quran and my way. The Quran and my way. Unfortunately, there are many houses that the last time the Quran was opened was when somebody passed away. There are many houses that the last time the Quran was opened was during the month of Ramadan. The Quran and my way, follow them, you will never go astray. And if we look at the problems that we are facing in our households, it may be because we're not following the Quran, or we're not following the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My dear Islam brothers, I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, for sending from me, Allah Azza wa Jalla, forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we all learn to love the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he should be loved. Respect the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he should be respected. Follow the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he should be followed. Not just today, not just tonight, not just tomorrow, not just during this month, but all of our lives. Ameen bi jahin nabi l-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.
O Mubarak for you.